All right, church, welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist. Before we continue, do we have any testimonies from either Eileen, Joaquina, Brother Giovanni, or I don't know, Diego, did you go? No, he was nearest. Jasmine, you didn't go, huh? Does anybody want to share about how yesterday's parade outreach went? From your seat, or like you said, from there, you want to just share? All right, Brother Giovanni, amen. He's going to let us know how the parade outreach went from passing out tracts. Here you go, brother.
All right. So we pretty much got there early, and we just went ham on it. Like, we saw people, like, they were gathered today, like, both sides. So pretty much we split into two groups, and yeah, we were on fire, for the work of God. So it's like, it was good to, be there and just minister, the word of God. And it was a blessing. Even when the parade started, we tried to get as much of the people as we could towards, when the parade ended. And after we got to the end of it, we just called it. And it was such a blessing. It was like, we're just having fun. We were just passing tracks. And it was funny because some of them, once the parade started, we would just like hand them a flyer and they're like, oh, they would just receive it. And they're like, oh, they would look at it and they're like, oh, man. But besides that, it was a good time. It went by, real quick. And then it was a good time out there with the fellow brothers and sisters.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Anyone else from yesterday's outreach? You want to come on up or from there? Awesome. Lord, we want to thank God for those of you who were able to go out yesterday. As you guys know, my wife and I, we started the parade outreach before the Chinese flu came overseas. And first time we did it, we had Brother Josh from El Cajon help us. The second time we did it, last year, Brother Melito came down and helped us. And then this year, unfortunately, my wife and I were unable to attend because we're still recovering from our accident with the rear end of the drunk driver. And just to give you guys a general update, my wife and I were doing okay. Every day it poses something new. Last night we could not get sleep again. Unfortunately, just the neck area, if you will, the back, the body man is not resting. Even with sleep aid, Fraser Farms organic, tea pills, it's still not helping out. So if you could just keep my wife and I in prayer, we sure would appreciate that. Like I said, just pray for me, for the energy to minister to you guys the word of God. I sure would appreciate that. But we appreciate you guys going out there yesterday. It really means a lot. It means a lot for me when friends from other churches want to help out. And that's always a blessing too. So let's just continue to keep our church in prayer through this time. As you guys know, the devil doesn't take breaks from trying to destroy the work of God, from trying to break up relationships with church members or the commitment from church members. Just know that the devil doesn't take breaks. Just know whenever there's something good taking place, there's unity, there's love, before you know it, a circumstance happens or a trial comes your way to try to discourage a brother or sister from walking with the Lord. So keep your church in prayer. Obviously, we got some ups and downs happening with some of the brethren. We care for them. I know you care for them, so let's keep them in prayer. And until then, let's just not give up. He didn't give up, so let's not give up. And then God willing, my wife and I, I'm hoping that next week we'll finally feel a little bit better. We're going to start physical therapy this week, so just keep that in prayer. And hopefully we'll get some recovery, some realignment, and just to get some sleep. And so my heart goes out to sister, our dear sister Joaquina. I know she struggled like that many, many years, and man, it's real, amen. So my hat's off to you, sister. My gosh, praise the Lord that you're doing better. All right, guys, with that said, let's go over some quick announcements. You guys already know, calendar tab. So next Thursday is the dedicated Thursday for Sunset soul winning at the Sunset Market. If you are, once again, ready and willing to help out your local church here, if my wife and I are not feeling it, I'll let you know, but if maybe a brother or a sister would like to go out anyways, that would be a great blessing. But if not, that's okay. Just let me know ahead of time. I'm going to order more flyers because, thank God, we passed out a lot of them. So we actually got to get more. Tomorrow, I will order them. And also, if you want to order a shirt, if you will, you just got to give the money by Wednesday. But I'm going to have to order flyers no later than Monday, Wednesday, because we have no more flyers for our outreach. They're all gone, which is a good problem. But we need to order more. So I want to order the flyers with the shirts because it's from the same company. Don't forget, the shirts are $13.29 each. If you want a long sleeve, just add like a dollar or two, more or less. That's how much they are. Okay, study blogs. Don't forget that. These are articles for you to add to your faith knowledge. Live stream links. Podcasts, if you will, is our primary for now. If you need any prayer, please don't forget to submit a prayer request online. Amen. And then last but not least, if you are a member of this church, hope you are, you can remain faithful in your financial giving. Whatever you purpose on your heart, just know that God loves a cheerful giver. And the Bible says that he is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye can have sufficiency, it says, in all things, that you may abound to every good work. So just know you're not going to be too rich, but you're not going to be too poor. When you're faithful in your giving to God, he's going to keep you sufficient. So why? You can keep giving. I just find it difficult for Christians who trust a God who created the heavens and the earth, trust that Jesus died and rose again, but they don't trust him with their wallet. It's just kind of a unique thing when the brethren are stretched, if you will. And so you guys know, just between you and God, guys, we don't pass the hat. There's a box back there online, and just trust God. That's all I'm going to say. You guys know we don't Bible beat nobody around, whether they do or don't. Amen. That's between you and the Lord. So go ahead, guys, take care of that, and we will sure thank you ahead of time. So with that said, guys, those are the announcements. I'm sure thankful to see you guys here at church. Again, let's keep the friends that you don't see here in prayer. And also, praise the Lord. Sister Rina, we have a visitor coming to our midweek Bible study. And maybe one of these days, if you ever get a chance, you can meet her. Amen. So keep her in prayer. Her name is Miss Catherine and her son. And I just want to thank the church for being friendly to visitors when they come. So let's continue to be friendly. Amen. And let's continue to purposely get out of our comfort zones to talk to a visitor and spend time and get to know them. Let's get out of our comfort zones with friends and family that we obviously know, and so that way they can feel welcome. Amen. I sure appreciate you guys making that effort. Okay, my friend, would you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and continue in our verse-by-verse study through Galatians chapter 5. And as we prepare our hearts to continue to go through Galatians chapter 5, do me a favor, open up there to chapter 5. We're going to pick up in verse number 19. This is going to be part number 4 of our study on the lust of the flesh. And as you guys make your way there, we'll get to the notes. Amen. Get to the notes. Galatians 5. Make your way there. And by the way, guys, if it gets a little like the weather up and down, Brother Joe, here's the controller. You can, you know, take it anytime. Okay, brother, it's right there. So feel free. Okay, guys, Galatians 5, part number 4 of talking about the lust of the flesh. Amen. We gave you a little nugget for the Sunday school hour. Hope you were here. And if you weren't and you want to listen to it later, just let me know. We will give you the podcast recording. So let's read together verse number 16. Hope you have your Bible there, Galatians 5, verse 16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." How many of you guys believe that? Anybody here believe that? Okay. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." How many of you guys experienced that this week? A part of you wants to do good for God. Another part of you does not want to. Amen. A part of you says, "Yeah, I love Jesus, love the Bible, go to church." Another part of you says, "Man, I just don't want to sin. All right, I want to do this over here." But verse number 18, "If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." We've been talking about that. We are not bound or constrained by the demands of the law to perfect your righteous standing before the Father. You were bound by the Spirit of the living God in you in the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, where you're free. So where the law demands of you righteous living, Christ loves you and empowers you with love so you would willingly want to live righteous versus being demanded and forced by the law. Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." So in other words, it's obvious, it's evident. And by the way, these are not necessarily binding upon a Christian. This is just general flesh. Anybody, non-saved, saved, this is when people sin, and this is what it looks like outwardly. Which are these? The first one, adultery. We talked to you about that last Sunday. Sexual misconduct while you are married to someone in a covenant before God and your spouse. Number two, fornication. That sexual misconduct before you get married in a covenant between you and a male or a female. Number three, uncleanness. All these following ones, they kind of connect with each other. Remember I taught you that last Sunday? They're all kind of puzzles, if you will, to the same piece when they're connected. They all kind of intermingle one with another. Uncleanness, lasciviousness. In other words, those are dealing more within your inner appetite for that flesh. It could either be for a sexual arousal. It could be for an unclean desire that you might have. For example, inordinate affection. Maybe it's, again, desire for the same flesh. I'm just telling you, the Bible's pretty clear. Mankind has some wicked thoughts. But these are the two words that describe when you begin to see within your mind those desires or those dreams, if you will, those nightmares, those imaginations. Number three or four, idolatry. Remember we talked to you about that last. It's not just having an image, right, or a statue at your house and bow down before. Remember that? You know, it's not just having a picture. But remember, what did Colossians teach us? Covetousness is also idolatry. So when you are desiring someone who doesn't belong to you, a man or a woman, when you're wanting more money, when you're jealous of the possessions of another, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, when you are coveting and Christ isn't sufficient, you are an idolater. And that's the work of the flesh. And obviously, when you see the world do that, and they'll do anything they can, they'll murder people for more money, they'll go to war with another country for more money. Now you know why, because their heart is idolizing that, right? Okay, witchcraft. We talked to you about that last Sunday. That's your Harry Potters, that's your sorcery, that's your black magic, that's the arts, if you will, of people who practice divining. Your what are those people called, brother, that read the palms? What was it? Psychics, all that stuff. All these people who are practicing these type of sins, amen. Hatred. We talked to you about that last Sunday. What is hatred? Well, God taught us in 1 John 3 that when Christians hate other Christians, that's like murder in his sight. Hatred is a very deep passion when you abhor someone. And if you don't take control of a thought of hatred within your heart, brother and sister, it'll lead you to do some things that you will regret doing. Variance. What is variance? We taught you that last Sunday. It's when you're living at odds with someone. It's when there's a strife or a division between you and someone else. It's when you are purposefully at odds with another individual. That's what variance means. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, all these intermingle one with another when an individual or a person is walking after the flesh. When you're emulating someone, you're trying to emulate their lifestyle or their decision-making because you're being covetous. You're trying to get the favor like they are from other people. You just want to work like someone else because you want to be admired by someone else like someone is. The only one you should emulate is Jesus, amen? And you should emulate the apostles when they're upright with God, and you should emulate your pastor when he's upright with God, but don't emulate people after the flesh just because. Remember what I shared with you, a verse in the Bible? It says in Proverbs, son, don't envy sinners, amen? Wrath, very similar with hatred. Strife, seditions, again, when you have a problem, and you can't take care of it with that individual, you got to get another person and another person. And before you know it, you have a posse. You have a gang behind you. It could be in a church, a secret church group to talk to. And then before you know it, it becomes a heresy because you want people to favor your idea. And then you cause an insurrection. You cause a riot, right? All that. Verse 21, envyings. We talked to you about that last Sunday. Again, it's very similar with jealousy, with desiring, with covetousness. Murders. Premeditated, amen. We already talked about that. It could be physical and it could be spiritual. Drunkenness. We already talked to you about that last Sunday. You should not be drinking alcohol. The Bible tells you clearly in Proverbs 23, Proverbs 21, you should not even look at alcohol. When someone invites you to a party, if I were you, I would avoid sitting next to the alcoholic party. I don't care if it's at for example, for me, the CEO, a work party, they invited us to a country club. If they have that stuff, I'm going to separate myself. I don't want to get near alcohol. As you guys know, it nearly destroyed my wife and I's life the other day. Just do your best to avoid alcoholic beverages, fermented beverages. Don't become a drunkard. Revelings, remember that? We talked to you last Sunday. What are those? King James Bible word for what? Your parties. When you just go to a festive gathering with people and everybody's just drinking it up, or they're obviously, if you will, in an engagement that is satisfying the lust of their flesh, whether they're smoking together, partying together, gossiping together, and then everything else. All that, such like, verse 21, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So for those of you who were not here for the Sunday school hour, I taught you a little lesson about the doing such things. So just listen to the podcast. We'll give you the message later. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I pray that the word of God will first minister to me, Lord, that I can be an example to the flock. I don't want to live as a hypocrite before the church. Father, I pray the members here tonight as well have a desire for Jesus so they don't live as hypocrites as well. I know that our desire is to live after Jesus, to live after the Spirit, but we fight with this flesh. Some of our fleshes are getting the best of us this past week, these past couple of days, these hours, perhaps before church. Some of our flesh has been arousing. It's been winning the battle against the Spirit of the living God. But today I pray that as we come to church, praise the Lord, all of us took the first step to come to church. Lord, I pray that you would see from heaven the sincerity, God, that we have deep down underneath all that carnal living, that, God, there's still a little good there that wants to fear God and wants to do right. Some of us are weak. Some of us are strong. Wherever we find ourselves before you, Father, would you speak to us through the Holy Spirit of God? And may you teach us today how to continue to live after the Spirit. Help us to hate the flesh. Help us to despise the flesh. Not each other, our flesh. And we'll thank you ahead of time for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, we've been teaching you guys these past couple of Sundays in regards to the work of the flesh. I'm going to read some notes before we continue, so just bear with me. 1 John chapter number 2, turn your Bible there with me, 1 John chapter 2. We need to remind you, the will of God is for you to live righteous. The will of God is for you to live holy. The will of God is for you to live in a manner that is pleasing in His sight. But what is the will of the flesh? It doesn't want to do that. The will of the flesh wants to live selfishly. The will of the flesh wants to live, if it feels good, do it. The will of the flesh doesn't care for the will of God. And every day you're going to argue with you. Not your pastor, not your wife, not your spouse, not your children, not the government. You're going to argue with you as to who you're going to obey. But I just want to remind you from the Bible, friend, that when you sin, because you will, you sinned yesterday, the day before, perhaps some of you, I know I have. I just want to remind you what God says in 1 John 2, verse 1. The Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. God does not want any of you to continue to live a life of sin. He doesn't want any of you to continue living after the lust of your flesh, which are the desires of the heart and of the mind. But when you do, because you will. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What does that mean, the word advocate, Brother Carlos? It means you have a lawyer. When you sin, here's what happens in heaven. Lucifer accuses you before God the Father. And he reminds God the Father of why he should damn Giovanni, Eileen, Dina, Felipe, Maribel, John, Carlos to hell because of every moment that we transgress the laws of God. And you know that? Lucifer ain't lying. How about that? He knows when Brother Carlos comes short. He knows when I give into the flesh. And he rightfully goes up there to heaven and says, you see what he did again, God? Do you see the sins he committed? You should judge him. Bust a Job on him, God. Take away his wife. Take away his belongings. Hey, God, you should judge that guy. Take away all his money. Watch. He deserves that. But there's someone sitting on the right hand of the Father. And after Lucifer is done giving God the list of all your faults and sins, Jesus Christ, the righteous, steps in. The Bible says in Hebrews, he intercedes between you and God. He sticks out his hand and he reminds the Father of the blood that was shed to pay for all your sins. Every single sin you've ever done, will do, he reminds the Father and Lucifer, I'm the righteous one here. They're not righteous. I am. The Father looks to the Son. Son, you're the righteous one. I'm looking to you on behalf of that one who's accused. You will sin. But when you do, you come back to God and you say, Father, forgive me. Please look to Jesus again on my behalf. I'm not worthy, Father. I know I should be sent to hell. I know I should be sent. I know I should be judged because I keep messing up. But can you look to Jesus one more time? And you know what the Father will do? He'll look to Jesus one more time. Why? Because he's merciful. He's gracious. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance in Romans 2, verse 4. So as we start today's message, I just want you to know, you will sin again. You need to fight not sinning. You need to fight not giving into your flesh. But when you do, don't sit there forever. Get up as quick as you can. Get out as fast as you can. Run, depart. Remember the fear of God instructing you? And when you come between you and God by yourself, you pray and you ask God, God, can you please look to Jesus on my behalf once again? I'm sorry I've sinned against you. You know what he said in 1 John? Just go back one chapter to the left. 1 John 1. Look what he says here. 1 John chapter 1. Look what he says in verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. You're not faithful. Anybody here? He is faithful. Anybody thankful for that? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. What is he waiting for you to do? Confess. He's just waiting for you to talk to him. So you have the judge of all the earth, God the Father. He's a just judge. You have the advocate, that's the lawyer, at the right hand of the Father. They're both faithful, you're not. So who do you need to continue to call upon? Jesus Christ. You need to keep coming to him, confessing your sins, and asking the Father, Father, please look to Jesus. Your Bible says that you're faithful and you're just to forgive me. I can't keep doing this on my own strength. I need help. And the day that you finally humble yourself, before you know it, he'll deliver you from that. But so long as you keep clinging to that on your heart, he won't. And I don't want you to continue to walk after that. That's why he said, my little children, please don't sin. Don't walk after the flesh. It's not worth it. Anybody here? We got the AC on today, my friend. It's going to be cool. Let's go back now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Back to our base text, verse number 19. The works of the flesh are manifest. Remember that. It's obvious. Adultery. Adultery is mentioned 40 times in 33 verses in your King James Bible. Fornication, 36 times, 32 verses in your Bible. Uncleanness, 40 times, 35 verses in your Bible. Lasciviousness, 6 times. Idolatry, 5 times. Witchcraft, 3 times. Hatred, 18 times. Variance, 2 times. Emulations, it's only right here one time in verse number 20, one time. Wrath. How many of you guys can give me a guess? How many of you guys, just throw out a number, how many of you guys think wrath is mentioned in the Bible? Keep going, up. 200 times, wrath. It's a big deal. You got to control that feeling when you start getting anger, hatred, abhorrent against an individual. You better take care of it. It'll lead you to do things you regret later on. Strife, 39 times. Sedition, once, right here in Galatians 5. Heresies, 3 times. Things, 2 times. Murders, 4 times. Drunkenness, 7 times. Revelings, 2 times. Do you know how many times? Oh, we'll get there. That's the notes ahead. I won't get you to the fruit of the Spirit, but until then, I just want you to see the lust of the flesh. They're described a lot in your Bible because they're real. And you have to fight it on a daily basis. And I want you to know that you're not alone. There's someone who's greater in you than that a part of you, and that's Jesus Christ. But like I said, this Sunday school hour, when you don't desire to partake of the divine nature, you will feel the lust of the flesh. So let's talk about the source. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter number 12. Back on the Bible train today, my friend, Matthew chapter 12. And I appreciate you keeping me in prayer. I feel like I got good enough energy, amen, to give you a good meal before we close today. Matthew 12, verse number 35, my friend. Hope you're following along in your Bible. Let's talk about the source of these lusts. I think it's very important for us to remind ourselves of where do they come from. I already taught you last Sunday, but now we're going to go a little bit more in depth as to where they are. Where do they come from? They're not a pop-up on your cell phone, brother or sister. They're a pop-up right in here. But where and why? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the source of these lusts within our flesh, the heart, the mind, etc. Matthew 12, 35. Let's read together. The Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Remember, church, there are good men in the Bible. And there are evil men in the Bible. I already taught you months ago the good man versus the evil man. If you want to look that message up, just go on our YouTube and then just type it out. I just have a question for you today. What kind of treasure is in your heart? Is it good or is it evil? You see, depending upon your answer, you know how you will show me your answer? By what and how you've been living your life recently concerning how and where you spend your time, how and where you spend your money, and wherever your affections are set. That's what will show me the type of treasure that you have in there. It's either evil or good. Jesus said, you're a good man when you want to keep bringing good things out of there. But you're an evil man when you want to keep bringing evil things out of there. Anyone here? Matthew chapter 6, turn now to the left. Matthew 6. We got the AC on today, my brother and sister. Amen. It's going to get a little hot, but we're going to keep you cool. Matthew 6, verse number 21. You know what Jesus said? He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So before we get ahead of the notes, I just want you to think about now where we're going with this. You could either be a good man, a good woman, or you can be an evil man or an evil woman in the sight of God. How are you going to show him that? My heart is on that over there. No wonder why you keep digging in that hole to keep getting more. But it's not satisfying you because that's the flesh. Or you can continue to dig over here in this hole, the spiritual stuff, you know, prayer, the Bible, church, you know, living right, and it'll be good for you. But where you sow your time and your money and your efforts, that's what's going to show where your heart's at. So, I've been at church. How about you? I've been reading my Bible. How about you? I've been praying and spending time with my wife. How about you? I've been desiring to go soul winning, but I can't, guys. I'm hurting. But how about you? Where have you been at this week? Where has your heart been at this week? Where's your mind been at this week? That's where your treasure is. No wonder why you keep trying to bring more of that out. Where is your heart today, friend? What are you valuing today as treasure? Are they good or evil? This, my friend, will be the answer to your why question concerning your walk with God. Remember how it describes those who walk after the flesh versus those who walk after the spirit? Think about it now with me in these terms. Where is the heart desiring to keep digging for treasure? Matthew chapter 15, let's go there. Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Glad to see you turning those pages, amen. Matthew 15, read with me, my friend, verse number 18. We're just going to let the Bible speak for itself. I think that's fine. In the end of the day, that's the source. Matthew 15, verse 18. Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the... There it is. That's where it comes from. You cannot deceive yourself, brother and sister, and you cannot blame anyone else but your own heart. What's coming out of that mouth? Where are you digging? You know what Jesus said? It starts right there, son. It starts right there, daughter. You know what Jesus said? He said, they defile the man. Those things that come out of your heart, that come out of your mouth, that are manifest through your action, that's what defiles you. It's not the wallet. It's not the government. It's not this on the outside. Notice he says, it's all of you on the inside. Look at verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Think about the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5. Murders, Galatians 5. Adulteries, Galatians 5. Fornications, Galatians 5. Thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. It's not the outside. It's the inside. So where do they proceed from? Well, Jesus said your heart. What defiles your walk with God? Your heart's desires. Who is responsible for maintaining a right and pure heart before God? Anybody? You are, yourself, no one else. You cannot continue to come to Brother Carlos and say, Brother Carlos, but my wife, but my husband, but my employer, but my landlord, but the president, but taxes, but inflation, but the black man, but the white man. No. Foolish. It's you. You're defiling yourself. And you're deceiving yourself by telling yourself it isn't. Look at what the Lord told you. You're just lying to yourself. False witness. Jesus can help you. I don't know about you, friend, but I find myself struggling with that a lot of my time. I find myself struggling with maintaining a right heart before God. Here's a good friend to talk to and to read about. Whenever you find yourself in that area, look up to the screen. And if that's you here today, here's what I want you to pray. Just like this psalmist said in Psalm 51, just look up to the screen. Look at what he said in verse number 10. Are you ready? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I want you to notice that the psalmist did not pray that God would clean the hearts of those around him first and then work with me, God. No. He prayed to God that he would give him a clean heart. Brother and sister, this is how you can maintain a right and clean heart before God daily. When you go to God in prayer daily and ask him to keep cleaning out all the junk, all the worldliness, all the filth and wickedness that clings to you and latches onto you throughout the week when you're not at church and not reading your Bible and praying. It's just like your car outside. It gets built up with dust. It's just like a filter that sucks on all the dust. It's trying its best to hold it, but at some point it needs to be replaced. Your heart, it can do good for a couple of maybe minutes, maybe hours if you're super spiritual. But before you know it, it needs to be cleaned again and one more time. And you know who can help you with that? God. But what is he waiting for? You to ask him. Mark chapter 7, let's go there. Bible's good. Anybody here? Okay, amen. Mark 7, verse number 20. Very similar to what Christ was describing in Matthew. Let's read now from Mark's perspective. Mark 7. And he said, verse number 20, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. Now look at what you have here in Mark. Covetousness. So you know how you keep wanting that thing that you're not telling nobody about, but obviously God knows. You're not going to lie to God. You can lie to your spouse. You can lie to Brother Carlos. You can lie to your best friend. But you know that thing you keep desiring, envying, coveting? Jesus knows. And you know what he said? It's defiling you, son. It's defiling you, daughter. That's the problem. That's the root. Wickedness, deceit, lascivious and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. When you argue with the scriptures, when you argue with a brother or sister who's just trying to give you the word of God, you know that pride that kicks in, wants to argue, backbite? Jesus said, that's what's defiling you, son. That's what's defiling your daughter. Foolishness. You know what he said? all these evil things come from within and defile the men. So I think you and I can safely agree today that I have a problem and you have a problem. And where did it come from? My heart. Your heart. That's what defiles me. That's what makes me a sinner. That's my lusts. That's what I battle with, and that's what you battle with. Someone can help you with that, though, and I'll give that to you before the end of the day. Oh, how we need to take care of our heart and our mind, how we need the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to continue to renew us and to create new desires and new thoughts and righteousness. Let's go to James chapter 3. James, the third chapter. Now, I love my friends who have differing opinions with me about Bible interpretation. If they trust Christ, then they're going to go to heaven with me, whether they have a tie or don't have a tie. I love them. It's okay to agree to disagree on certain things of interpretation, but when you get saved, I just want to remind you that the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, your soul, and He seals it. And He is the one that is keeping you refreshed and renewed daily. 2 Corinthians 5, and I can give you all the verses about the Holy Spirit preserving your salvation, your righteousness. But you are still a part of your flesh, and your spirit is a part of you. Your soul is still a part of all of it. It's all interconnected. It's not disconnected. You can't just blame the piece of finger over here for something your eye wanted to do over here. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's all a part of you. It's not until the day that you die, your soul departs from your body, or the rapture, where Christ will take both soul and body and then change it radically. It's until that happens, you're still living with you until the day you die. The difference is God is doing a holy supernatural thing every single moment that you don't even consider it. He's keeping you renewed daily, the Bible says. He is washing you daily, the Bible says. So for those who say it's my flesh did it, you know, it's not really my soul because I'm a new man. No, that's foolish. James 3, verse number 8. But tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Anybody dealt with the tongue lately? Anybody here? Have you spoken to someone lately with a bad attitude? Have you spoken with words out of your heart that you were cursing someone, using bad words, foul language? Did you have an anger thought in your heart and your mind and it came out? You know what the Lord said there? You got some poison in their son. You got some poison in their daughter. You need to control that thing from coming out, because what it's going to do is it's going to infect someone, and before you know it, send them to the hospital. Break relationships. Break friendships. Why? Because you couldn't control that tongue. Now look at verse 9. Therewith, blessed be God. How many of you guys still pray? Amen. Anybody out there? But you just argued with your spouse. You just yelled at your children. You cursed. You said a bad word. You talked about pastor behind his back. You lied about another church member. But you pray anyways, huh? You're spiritual. I know. It's getting hot. The Bible says, even the Father. We're still spiritual. I'm still praying. I'm saved, man. I got a King James Bible. I'll forget all that. And therewith, curse we men. How about that? So yeah, you praying all right, but you still talking smack. Why? You got poison. That's all of us. We all have that problem. You know what the Lord said there? Which are made after the similitude of God. All mankind right now, if they're saved or not, you know what God said? They're made after His similitude. You say, what is that? You see this? See this arm? See this head? The similitude of God. When you talk smack or evil about a human being that's made after the similitude of God, the Lord's going to talk to you about that. Out of the same mouth proceedeth what? Blessing and cursing. All right, let's pray for Brother Carlos Friday night. Father, we thank you for Brother Carlos. Man, I couldn't stand him the other day. Woo! Because there's a problem in you. And Jesus said, where does it come out of? Your heart. What did he say? Out of your heart, the abundance. Out of your mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So what is the Holy Spirit telling? You shouldn't do that. I'm telling you what the problem is, but you know you shouldn't be doing that. Look at verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's still a part of you. Go to James chapter 4, one chapter to the right. James 4, look with me now in verse number 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So yes, brother, that's still a part of you. I don't care who says that when you got saved, certain things were cut off or disconnected. No, 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 no. That's a part of you, and you know it. You know you. God knows you. That's why he's telling you in the Bible, that heart that's inside this body where Christ and the Holy Spirit of God dwell, there's a fountain in there. It blesses God. It's praise. It's righteous. It wants to do good, but then it curses man. It sins. It does evil things. Where is it coming from? That heart in your body. Don't be telling me my little piece of meat over here made me do something my eye wanted to do over here. No, no, no. That's the scriptures. So, brethren, you are still responsible for your own actions because ultimately it's still your own willpower that will decide the decisions that you will make. Christ's liberty provided you power to resist and say no, but you have to willingly yield to his commandments for the Spirit to help and assist you stand firm in that liberty. My question to you today is this: will you yield? Will you submit to the Spirit of the living God inside of you, or will you submit to yourself? I'm not sure about you, friend, but I'm wicked. I know myself. And you remember what Brother Paul said in Romans 7? Just look up the screen. You know what he said? Romans 7? Look what he said in verse number 18 about knowing himself. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Brother and sister, listen now, in love, there's nothing good about you apart from Christ in you. So sorry for all those self-help, Google, chicken soup for the soul, nice flower power churches out there that say, oh, you're really a good person. No, you're not. You're evil. You got deadly poison in there. And when you entertain it, that's what defiles you. That's what makes you a sinner. You know what Paul said? I ain't got nothing good in here. But there is one that's good in there who wants to help you to be good as well, like him. Brother and sister, there's nothing good about you apart from Christ in you. You must remind yourself daily about that. The scriptures are clear. There are two powers that seek to operate through you daily if you're a born-again Christian. The first power is the power of sin. The second power is the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, turn your Bible now to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And read with me starting in verse number 17. Romans 7, verse number 17. We're keeping the AC on to keep you guys cool, amen. Bible says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So what is he telling you? I have a desire to do good. But when I want to do the good, when I want to carry it all the way, I find somehow, some way, there's something in me that holds me back. It hinders me from accomplishing the good that I want to do. Look at what he says in 19. For the good that I would, I do not. How many of you guys believe Paul was a very great Christian? Anybody here? Some brethren over-exalt Paul than he did of himself. You know what he said? When I wanted to do good, I didn't do it. But the evil, which I would not, that I do. So you know, brother and sister, you're not alone. Paul struggled with sin just like you. He had good treasure. He had evil treasure. He knew where to dig for it. And you know too. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He is sane. I'm glad that he is humbling, admitting himself. It's sin. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Anybody here? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. What did I say earlier? There's two powers in you. There's the power of sin that's trying to keep you sinning against God. And then there's the power of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who's trying to help you to live righteous before God, who's trying to help you to be godly, who's trying to help you to be a great godly husband to the wife, and a wife submitted to her husband, and children and members of a church. And the Holy Spirit is trying to help you. But there are two powers. One is trying to bring you into captivity. One is trying to keep you in liberty. But do you know that it's up to you to whom you yield yourself to? That's who's going to have the victory in the end of the day. Look at what he says, verse number 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. So much for all those watered down, self-help, unfortunate churches out there who want to say, but you're really a good person in the end of the day. You know what Paul said? I'm a wretched man. I'm messed up. There's only one in him who is good. And let's keep talking about that. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through who, friend? Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So before we close, I just have a couple of more questions to ask you today. Do you want to continue walking the rest of your life with that chokehold we talked about last Sunday? Do you want to let the cares of this world, the lust of other things, to come back in your heart, which will prevent you from producing fruit? Do you want that yoke, that chokehold, to keep you drowning? Or do you want the loving hands of Jesus Christ to keep your neck free from that yoke so you can carry his yoke of liberty? The choice is yours. As for me, brother and sister, I want the hands of Christ on my neck. I want him to keep me free. I want him to help keep fighting all these things that will keep trying to bring me into captivity. Do you want that? Before we close, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, hope you're following along now with me in your Bible, verse number 16. Galatians 5, verse number 16. This I say then. So how many of you guys believe the Bible here this morning? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Okay, only got three people that believe the Bible. All right. So for those of you who said, I believe the Bible, Brother Carlos, here it is, verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's your answer. Brother Carlos, I'm trying. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't give in to the lust of the flesh. Yield to the Spirit, you won't give in to the lust of the flesh. Obey the Spirit of God in you, you will not give in to the lust of the flesh. What's the opposite truth? When you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you ignore the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you despise the Spirit, when you rebel against the Spirit, you're going to give in. For the flesh, verse 17, hope you're following along now, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So we read all the verses already. We're not going to rehearse them now. Just go back now to verse number 21. When people walk after the flesh and they continue to fulfill the desires of the heart and the mind that are contrary to Scripture, what does it say? They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see there? So I'm just going to leave you with this. When you continue to walk after the flesh, it's going to hinder two things about your inheritance. One is your present tense relationship with Jesus, where the Holy Spirit is wanting to help you to conform you in all areas of your life to Christ's image. He wants to help you to enjoy the glory of Christ. He wants to help you to enjoy the virtue of Christ. He wants to help you to live an obedient life like Christ did to the Father. He wants to help you inherit Christ's person while you're walking on this earth. But when you tell the Holy Spirit no, because you're going to give into the flesh, you will not inherit that. So, brother and sister, do not deceive yourself into thinking that you will be like Christ and spiritual when you continue to live in sin willingly. You will not look like him. Matter of fact, you'll look like the Antichrist. What does that mean? You're going to just look like that spirit that is contrary and rebellious against the real Jesus. And that's the flesh. That's the devil. Number two, what else will it affect? It will affect your future inheritance in heaven and in eternity to come. One day, the Bible says that Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when you do, you will be reckoned reward. One day, Jesus wants to reward you for all of your faithful service to him while you were on the earth. And the amount of the reward that you get will determine the duty that you're delegated in eternity. So however much you express to him right now of how he's worthy of your heart and your body and your time and your effort, your faithfulness to the commands as a husband and wife and your church, you inherit reward. But right now, while you're living on this earth as a Christian, the more that you ignore him, the more that you satisfy yourself and not him, you will not inherit reward. Matter of fact, the Bible says you'll lose reward. And therefore, you'll lose the potential delegation that Christ wants to assign you because you've proven to him that you couldn't be counted on while you were on this earth, faithless, rather than being faithful. So in the end of the day, friend, I want to leave you with this before we close because this is very important. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, and then we're going to come to a close. Ephesians chapter 3. How many of you guys today, before we close, how many of you guys want to walk in the Spirit? Raise your hand. How many of you guys do not want to continue to walk after the lust of the flesh? Raise your hand. Okay, it's good to know. I'm happy that there are a few of you out there. That's good. This is how God will help you if you let him. I'm just going to show you now some scriptural answers to all that. Are you ready now? Let's come to a close. Ephesians 3. I hope you're following along with me in your Bible. Verse number 14, let's just pick up there. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now here it is, verse number 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, there it is from Sunday school, that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So here's what I want to leave you with this. If you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you desire to sincerely say, God, I want to walk in the Spirit, then here's what you need to do. You need to pray. Verse number 16, you need to ask God, God, grant me the riches of your glory. You need to pray and ask God, God, strengthen me with your Holy Spirit in my inner man. Verse 17, you need to ask God that Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. You need to continue then to be rooted and grounded with what he's already given in you in verse number 17. Verse number 18, you need to ask God through the Holy Spirit to help you to know the what? Verse 19, what does it say, church? The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So in the end of the day, before you start asking for wisdom about prophecy, doctrine, UFOs, aliens, and all those things that brethren want to rabbit trail off of, if you know that, you might be a great Bible teacher, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you start wanting to know more about the love of Christ? Because you know what it said there in verse number 19? If you have your Bible there, what does it say? which passeth knowledge. Do you know what's going to help keep your marriage together more than the doctrine? The love of Christ. You know what's going to help keep your church together when members give up and they start leaving here and there and they start bickering and biting? The love of Christ that passes knowledge. You know what's going to help you to resist the desire from your heart when it wants to give in to a lust here or a lust there? The love of Christ. But you know what you need? You need to desire Him. And then while you're praying, you know what God's going to do for you? He's going to tell the Holy Spirit in verse number 16, Holy Spirit, I want you to help my daughter. I want you to help my son, because I can see they really want to be more like my son, Jesus. I can see that deep down in there, they no longer want that. They no longer desire that. So you know what, Holy Spirit? Give them some more of the love of Christ. Give them some more comprehension, verse number 18. Give them some more confidence to be rooted and to be grounded in love. Do you see that, friend, in verse number 17? And in the end of the day, before you begin to excuse yourself, I just want to remind you, verse number 20, there is a power that's working in you. You just got to let Him work. And the more that you let Him work, the more your life will change and the more you will resist giving into the flesh and the more spiritual that you'll be for His glory. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to come before Your throne of grace and say thank You for allowing us to wake up another day of life and breath. Father, it is good to see some of those here at church tonight. It's good to see the members that are returning. But Father, only You know who's sincere and who isn't. Some of the church members here today, God, are distracted. They have cares of this world, lust of other things, God, that are choking them. Some of the members of this church have a chokehold from sin that they're battling with. Others are yielding to You in faith. Others are letting You keep them free from that chokehold because they desire You. They are diligently seeking You. God, I don't know where everyone's heart is, and I don't want to know because I still need You to take care of mine. But Father, I pray that today's message spoke to them. I pray that there was a conviction that is continuing in their heart, in their spirit, that You are exposing those things in their life, not because You hate them, but because You love them. You are warning them. You're trying to bring them back to the love of Christ that can prevent them from all those deceitful, artificial loves that their flesh is trying to tell them is real. Father, would You please help any struggling child here today? Help them to walk in the Spirit. Help them to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in their inner man so they don't give in to the lust of the flesh. So that way their lives are not ruined. Their relationships with other people are not destroyed. Their church will be intact because of them. Father, for them that are being spiritual, for them that are striving to do their best, would You keep them going? Keep them walking strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. And Father, I will thank You for helping me with things that I used to do a long time ago that You have given me the power now to no longer do. Father, help us to keep walking as an example. When one is weak, the strong can come by and pick them up. And then when they come out of their weakness, they can do the same for someone else down the line. So Father, I pray that today the hearts of the members were stirred. And I just want to ask God one more thing, Father, that You would give every single member here a greater burden to be diligent. And I just want to thank You ahead of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Please have a good rest of your day. And I appreciate all your prayers. And we'll have some good time of fellowship. Amen. If you have any questions, comments, we'll